Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Friday, August the 7th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. We would love to hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. I would say welcome, Michael, except he's not on yet. We are on our last day. Well, we do our closure session tomorrow, but this is the last full day of classes for our Laws of Living. And so he was still over in the classroom. I came over to start the switchboard, so I'm sure he'll be with us here momentarily. But we welcome you to the show. Laws of Living has gone phenomenally. Thank you. He just brought me lunch over. So anyway, we've had a small group. It's been very powerful, a lot of processing, and we're on our last lesson. We were beginning to wonder, we've got 8 lessons in the book, and it's like, okay, we're getting down to the wire. Are we going to get it all in? Because there was so much processing going on. But we've made it. We're finishing up the last chapter. We start back at 2 o'clock, and we'll get it completed today, and then everybody will take their personal code evaluations, and we will close out in the morning and take Susan back to the airport. The others are heading off there in cars. So it has been a great 16 days, a fast 16 days. So you all that have just joined and maybe aren't familiar with what you've just linked into, we welcome you to the show. Mind Shifters Radio is about shifting your mind. And it's, how do you do that? You know, we start out and we ask people to describe a newborn, whether it's a newborn baby, a newborn kitten, a newborn puppy, whatever. And it's also always that it's sweet and it's precious and pure and awesome. And that's the descriptors that they give. And so then we ask them, you know, okay, how many have ever done something that you regret? And what were you feeling that motivated you to do whatever it was you did? And those answers always come back with grief and pain and sadness and rage and terror and things like that. And it's like, okay, the first descriptor is who you are. You may have forgotten it. It's become overlaid with all of these other things that you've experienced. But these experiences is just that. It's an experience. It's not who you are. But how do you remove those things that don't belong in this energy system? Because if we put those energies in, they actually become our diseases and physical, mental, and emotional. And so this work is about going in and doing Aramaic forgiveness, which is removing those energies from within us so we can get back to being those newborn descriptors, to get back to being love. That's who we were designed and created to be. And so that's what this work is about. And we take people, we've got different worksheets, different processes that look at relationships or stress or codependency, all different aspects. We've got the Laws of Living, which is what we're doing right now. And it's to look at, how do you get back to being? How do you get back to living the laws of the universe and being in a relationship with those laws so that life operates the way that you really, truly want it to operate? So that's what we're about, and we welcome you to the show. I think Michael is with us now, so I'll turn it over to him. Hi, Michael. and maybe he's not. So, welcome, Dr. Tim.
Hello, hello.
Hey, how are you doing today?
So Michael brought you lunch and then disappeared?
I thought he was on the switchboard, but and he was for a moment, and then he's disappeared again. So I don't know if he's... Oh, there he is. Let me turn him back on there. Hello, Michael.
Yes, I've been there the whole time. I don't know what happened.
It's the ghost.
I don't either.
How are you, Dr. Tim?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm
awesome. How'd the support group go last night?
It was wonderful. We finished the last of a series of 9 talks with Guy Finley and had questions and comments and deep... Guy Finley was diving fairly deeply into the core of the work, which is the realization that at your essence you are this creative energy of love, and it reflects to you truthfully who you are. It was just a lovely, lovely talk. And again, I'm blessed to have people that choose to come and participate in that process. And you know, we listen to the Michael Rice talks and the Guy Finley talks and the Dale Allen Hoffman talks, so we get some kind of a picture in our minds about what our goals might be long term in terms of this process and this work. And then we pick up the worksheet process and actually remove everything that blocks us from just living as our true nature. It's just wonderful. So again, very blessed. Very blessed.
Well, I'll second that. And we've just had a really sweet morning of processing. And, you know, Ari's here, and his history is Hebrew and Jewish. And so he brought a lot of pieces in. You know, the topic today was forming a pagra in relationships. And so he brought in some of the marriage ceremony from the Hebrew perspective, and it was just like perfectly in alignment with what we're talking about with the Aramaic, and enhanced the whole understanding of the process. And in Aramaic, there's a word that represents a third entity formed with the union of two people, and the word is apagra. And Ari was sharing with us. And Ginny, you've got the word written down. Maybe you know what it is. I didn't memorize it. But part of the marriage ceremony where two people who are getting married move around each other without touching, and they're not allowed to touch at this stage until they formed a spiritual union or a pagra, a third entity. And recognizing that each of us has our personal code, and if personal codes come in conflict in relationship, what we end up with is struggle. And that if we consciously form this third entity, the pagra can have a personal code that's been formed consciously between two people, and therefore yielding to the personal code of the pagra rather than feeling like one has to yield to the power of their partner, the demands of their partner, they consciously, purposely form a set of standards by which they choose to live, and then yield to that instead of the individual. It just opens a whole different space. So it was just a really sweet discussion. So I'm understanding what you're saying with the support groups when people get together and work with it. One of the other things that Ari was saying, the ancient Jewish mysticism is called Kabbalah, and it's gotten a lot of different meanings in the world today, but one of the things he was saying was that you couldn't study Kabbalah or teach Kabbalah until you were 32 and you had to be married. And you think of Yeshua and the fact that he came on the scene in his early 30s and started to teach. And, you know, there's a lot of discussion, was he married, wasn't he married? And that system, they wouldn't have listened to him if he wasn't. So chances are, although to go to the validity of the teachings, when you take it and you actually put it to work, we don't have to determine a lot of things that can become a distraction. But anyway, it's just been a really sweet morning.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear that the Laws of Living class went so well. And as we always have the opportunity to understand, it's all in perfect order, even if it doesn't go according to the conscious logical plan.
Oh, there were parts of it. Stuff was flying that didn't go according to the plan, but, according to what the ego might plan, but it was according to the plan, and everything was just awesome in the way it flew, the way the energy moved, stuff that came up for people, rage, fear, guilt, and the support of the group to work through that, and just, you know, creating a space for people to see that dynamic and realize when they're terrified of it that they can allow themselves to access that internally and work through it rather than get stuck is just an awesome thing. It's pretty cool. So any patterns you're seeing today? Anything in that regard to share?
Well, generally, today and yesterday, the biggest thing is people holding on to an idea of who or what they are, or identifying with something, whether it's a material thing or a label or a relationship, and holding on to it so tightly that they actually lose sight that they're whole and complete in and of themselves, even without that attachment. As a matter of fact, the energy they pour into that attachment literally prevents them from seeing their wholeness and their true loving nature. So the theme yesterday and today was about how to first identify what my system is trying to tell me whenever I have a negative emotion, and that it's trying to get me to look inside at my own error, and then identify what it is that I've been so attached to. And of course, this feeds right into, you know, what goal am I holding that's not getting met at some level? And that's the theme, but instead of talking about it as goals, it's been talking about it in terms of things I have identified with and things I have become attached to. And the focus of energy on the identification and the attachment leaves me unable to connect consciously with my true nature and realize I'm whole and complete, even if I'm without any possessions or without any, quote, relationships. So I don't know if that stirs any
sounds powerful
for you. Pardon me?
Sounds powerful. Sounds right on track. That's where we want to go, right across the board. Oh, pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. And, you know, recognizing this whole idea of law is not a practice of following some creature in the sky's rules, the guy with a long beard and a big stick that's going to get us, but rather is understanding that the universe comes under the governance of eternal forces. And when we to those eternal forces, when we live in relationship with them and we honor them, that is live connected to our true being, love, in the presence of those eternal forces, then we get to open a whole different space in us and in our world. Human life is awesome when it shows up. Absolutely amazing. Pretty sweet. So, Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up or anybody in the phone queue in the chat room with a question for us?
No, on both accounts. So there's if you press one, you're first in line. Would you like for me to read those things that we pulled up based on Ari's information?
That would be good. That would be cool to explain that, sweetie. That'd be awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so first one was the word kiddushin, and during the kiddushin stage, a couple is married, but there's one caveat. They can't physically express their union. They can't go to bed together. So in the absence of any practical, tangible connection, what binds the two? It is their soulful connection. Only after the connection of the souls has manifested itself during the kiddushin period laying the foundation for a soulful marriage, can the couple then proceed to the nisuin, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, the physical aspect of their relationship. If matrimony starts with the nisuin, the physical relationship could permanently overshadow the spiritual connection. If matrimony started with that, then the physical relationship resulting in a marriage whose priorities and ideals are skewed. And then the other one that he brought up was the Kabbalah. And looking it up, it says, for millennia, humanity has offered a wide variety of things under the name Kabbalah, including spells, curses, mysticism, even miracles, all except for the method of Kabbalah itself. For over 4,000 years, common understanding of Kabbalah has been cluttered with misconceptions and misinterpretations. Therefore, first and foremost, the wisdom of Kabbalah needs to be made clear. I can't pronounce the gentleman's name, provides the following definition in his article, The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah. The wisdom is no more and no less than a sequence of roots which hang down by way of cause and effect in fixed, determined rules interweaving to a single exalted goal described as the revelation of his godliness to his creatures in this world, unquote. In simpler words, there is an upper all-inclusive force, or the creator, quote-unquote, controlling everything in reality. All the world's forces descend from this comprehensive force. Some of these forces are familiar to us, such as gravity or electricity, while there are forces of a higher order that act while remaining hidden to us. Kabbalah holds the map or the knowledge of how these hidden forces are structured, and the laws by which they influence us. It teaches us through books such as the Zohar and other means how to develop a sense of these forces and finally discover their only purpose, to bring us to the revelation of the Creator, the all-inclusive law of nature while living in this world.
Right on track. And the whole idea of laws of living is to recognize that there are these eternal forces and that these eternal forces operate in a way that is noble, that is understandable, that we can harmonize with. And when we harmonize with them, then things go well in our world because we're in harmony with the eternal forces around us. And so law, as it comes from the Aramaic and in laws of living, is simply about the way things work. It's not some superior sitting on a throne making rules for us to follow. There are no rules that some authority wants us to follow. There are eternal forces that we can understand and harmonize with. Now, you might form some rules as a human around these eternal forces, such as you don't allow a 3-year-old too near the edge of the cliff. There's a law called the law of gravity. So there are rules that men make that are in harmony with the eternal forces, and in the ancient teachings we're obligated to stay in harmony with those rules. If men make rules that do not harmonize or support the eternal forces, then we are obligated by those same teachings to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And of course, getting clear on which they are and realizing it's not the rule of a superior, but that when people come into avoidable collision with the eternal forces, they end up in trouble. When they clean up their lives and they come back into direct relationship with those eternal forces, everything tends to go well in the world. It's just the way it works. So the whole laws of living were on day 15 or 16, pardon me. The whole laws of living is about removing the things that take us out of harmony with the eternal forces, and replacing those things with love, which puts us into harmony. So that's where we're heading with laws of living. And so the discussion with Ari was really quite an opening, just on another level, to see how these eternal forces operate and that we can come into harmonious relationship with them. Pretty cool.
Yeah. We do have a hand up now.
Oh, great. Let's say hello.
I believe it is our friend Julie from Oregon, area code 541. You're on the air.
Yeah, because of our own...
Julie, is this you?
Oh, hi. Hello. Wait. Can you hear me?
You're on the air.
Thank you. Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Jeannie. Hi, Dr. Tim. I have a friend with me who I've been telling about your work. He's seen a little bit of a couple of your DVDs, and he's had this question about your work in the prisons, and he's wondering, he wants to ask a question, okay? And maybe you can describe...
Awesome. Let's go for it.
Okay. His name is Christos. Here he is.
Hello. Welcome, Christos. Glad to hear your voice.
Hi. I just wanted to know if the public will ever get an opportunity to talk to the prisoners who've done the work so that they can get the prisoner's perspective about your work. I have a feeling I might be able to understand it better hearing it from the prisoners, because they could use their vocabulary or their understanding to perhaps clarify it for me.
Well, you know, the interaction with the tools is what really brings the clarity. And, like, for instance, the last Laws of Living course that was done with about 40 people or so, 40 men, in a super high security prison in Ionia, Michigan. It's a disciplinary prison. So the chance of having conversations with them are slim, and I think that there perhaps are some testimonies from them that we've put on the website. The kinds of things that they've shared with us have happened. And so, but direct communication, I suppose we could, you know, the course is completed, but perhaps we could open some communication with some of those folks that, you know, you can write to. I'm not sure at this point. I know there were two in particular Muslim gentlemen who were in for life, and both of them, as a result of experiencing Laws of Living and how it harmonized with their teaching, asked if they could be certified to teach it, to take it to the National Lifers Association. Unfortunately, the doors for that had not opened yet, but they were just right there 100% with it. And so,
but you have
there are...
You have testimonies online?
Jeannie, have we got anything from any of the,
you know,
the people in prison? Of course, the other prison that
most people
live in around the globe.
I don't think we do, but we can put them out there.
Okay, go for it. So we'll put some things up there, and we'll send Julie a link to them. And, you know, the biggest prison that most people need to break free from is the one between their ears. And it's the toughest one to break out of, because most people don't even know they're in one. And so there are lots of different conversations of people and what their experience is of breaking free of the individual prisons they've created for themselves and their relationships with their parents, their children, their spouses. And of course, whether one's in behind the walls or outside, the work isn't any different. Certainly a different level of intensity in the prison, and more of an opportunity to do one's work in the prison than the average person takes in the outer world. But the principle's the same.
Well, I appreciate your work, and I appreciate Julie, because she's been my interpreter of your work, and I sometimes struggle to understand it. That's why I was curious if prisoners had testimonials that I could listen to.
You know, have you put the pen to the paper with the worksheet process yet?
Yes, once.
Oh, good. Okay.
And like I'm saying, for me, it's about the jargon, the lexicon of your work, that I struggle with.
Well, one of the things I'd invite you to do is that, and they're not exactly testimonials, but in a sense they are, if you go to our website, yagen.org, and you scroll down a little bit, in the middle of the page you'll see a bullseye. If you click on that bullseye, the third link has at least 16 radio shows where we've walked somebody through the whole process. So we have someone, I mean, you're not just listening to a live testimony, you're listening to their live process. 16 different people in real, honest-to-God crisis working with the worksheet process and us giving them instructions and guiding them through it. The first one in particular, I have
like
reports of people all the time who have huge impact from listening to that MP3. then you can just go to the website, click on the Bullseye, third link down, and the first radio show under that is one of the most awesome testimonies you could ever hear. You get to hear this person actually make the shift live right there on the show. And there's 16 different one-hour programs that will give you that direct experience, which I think you'd probably find the most powerful testimonial you can get.
Excellent. I'll check it out. Thank you.
Awesome. Delighted. Thank you. Okay. You going to hand this back to Julie?
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Michael. That was great. Thank you.
Okay,
appreciate
Ms. Julie, any other thoughts or questions for us?
Well, I am getting some insights about my whole interaction with my Jewish friends. And I made my apology, and I got no response from, you know, that they've acknowledged that I've apologized, or are they accepting it, which is interesting because I now get to do worksheets on, you know, the whole guilt thing, right? So I'm letting go of a lot. I'm really seeing that where my work is to hone my skill on being more appropriate so as to be more effective with how I use what I know with people who don't know it. And Christos is validates that. He says I talk over his head too much. So he doesn't say it that way. But so I'm learning how to tone it down and really reach people instead of recite from my brain what I've memorized, I think.
Awesome. Well, I think you'll find those shows to be very useful. And really, I mean, watching the process live unfold, of course, you've listened to them as time's gone on, but, you know, listening to the live process unfold, there's nothing like that as a testimonial.
Well, I think that's a great idea. Thank you. I'll put that into my support group. So.
Awesome.
My support group doesn't have people coming regularly yet, but I do call them and tell them it's happening, and I hold the space for it to happen. So we'll see. Anyway, better let you go. You probably have other people, but thank you so much.
All right, blessings. Take care. Bye-bye. Nice to hear from you, Crystal.
Thank you.
Bye.
So 646-200-4169, if you're on one of those stations we can't see in our control panel, once you get on the line, if you push 1, that puts a little hand up in the control panel, and Jeannie can see that you want to chat with us, and we'll get to have a conversation. So anybody out there who needs support, has questions about the tools, the use of the tools, we'd love to hear from you. Jeannie, anything happening in the chat room? Anybody with a hand up?
No, there's not.
Well, one of the other pieces that we just went through in Laws of Living is the communication piece. And we do a workshop called Communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And realizing that the words we use, and this ties in with Laws of Living to a thing we call regulatories, the words we use produce not only the constructs of the world we see between our ears, the chemistry that's moving, or so-called chemistry that's moving in our physiology, the creative waves that move out from us and produce results, but determine our state of health and disease. And so when one of the key ideas that we just went through in Laws of Living was that a lack of communication or withholding communication is a cause of death. So many people would say, well, that's ridiculous. But when you think about what the cell biologists have discovered, and that is that when you think a thought, your body produces a molecule called a neuropeptide. Deepak Chopra says that process is amazing process that is the world of non-matter becoming matter. It's like we get to see it right there. And what happens with that neuropeptide, that molecule form, is it circulates around in your structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches. And it lands on the cell, and it inserts itself, and what it inserts shows up in the cell as chemistry. So if it's destructive mind energy, if it's energy that's off the mark, in the ancient Aramaic that would be called sin, and sin in Aramaic is an archery term. It's got nothing to do with all the things the Greeks have told us about. It's just, if I put an energy in that's off the mark, then I begin to destroy whatever I put that energy into. So if I fill my house with rats and mice and bugs and, you know, all kinds of animals, my house is probably going to be destroyed because they're not energies that work very well in the house. And in my own temple, if I fill it with the rats and bugs of hate and fear and anger and rage and guilt, what happens is those thoughts literally become what we call chemicals in the cell. And if the cellular chemistry is of a disintegrative nature, then the cell begins to disintegrate. So if I have something that I don't want to communicate, that I'm withholding, I have tagged that in my energy system with, obviously, destructive or negative mind energy. And when I do, that mind energy, if you go to the opening words in the book of John, where we're told it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, not what it says in Aramaic, because in the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. When I engage in that mind energy, and I refuse to communicate about it, I don't want to deal with this, I've given it a quality that is disintegrated relative to my cellular structure. If I withhold enough of that, I'm going to create the cellular chemistry of self-destruction. So opening the space, let go of withhold, and cleaning up the dynamics in your life and in your relationships is a powerful thing to do. So we have a whole series of tools to empower you to do that and support you. And of course, the reason for this radio show 5 days a week is to create the support so that anybody on the globe that wants to work with these tools and has access to the internet can access us and be part of this conversation. So we're delighted to be here. It would be nice if the broadcast could go out in other languages than English, but right now I don't have those skills, so, and probably we're not going to set up another hour program to do each language on the planet, or we wouldn't have enough hours in a day. But we're doing our best to make it available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet, and we're glad you're part of it, the listening ears to receive the energy and pass it on somewhere along the line. The 646-200-4169 questions are really the lifeblood of the whole process. So if you've got a question for us, you know, if Dr. Tim had shared what he shared, I shared what I shared, Jeannie shared what she said, if we were in your town on a platform and we walked down off the platform and you've been in the audience, would you walk over to one of us or all three of us and ask a question? We'd like to hear your question.
So I'd like to offer
a correction. Yes, sir.
Questions aren't the lifeblood of the entire process. Questions are the lifeblood of this radio show. The lifeblood of this entire process is actually using the tools. And when Julie had her friend
Absolutely.
On, when Julie had her friend on and he was asking for, can we get testimonials or somebody to talk about it in a different way, all I could think about was came to me yesterday morning about the lawnmower. And then the next thought was, if he could pick up the tools and use them and push through his resistance, when he had success, his language about what he experienced would open the door for him and others who might have resistance to your language or your terminology. But the lifeblood of this work is to actually have a conflict within me and relax into knowing I, with my conscious logical mind, can't possibly solve it, cancel the goals associated with that imagery and tension within me, and ask to be shown something from a higher source. That's the only way. And that's the only thing that's kept me tuning into this show and doing these support groups, is the results, time after time after time.
You've got my agreement on that, and as each person has been asked their question, it opens the space for us to move into a deeper level. And so, but yes, absolutely, doing the work is the ultimate key in the whole process. If you don't have a support group in your territory, then we invite you to create one. If you go to the website, Gene's created a whole support group area on the website. Lots of information there. And that information will give you a foundation to start with a support group. And then there are lots of folks on the radio show who've started and who work with support groups regularly, especially Dr. Tim. And so you've got a live opportunity to ask questions about support groups if you don't have one and getting one started. So we're here to facilitate the delivery of this understanding to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's what we're here for. That's what it's all about. And if you have a question, if we can support you in any way, we invite you to push one and come forward with your question.
Quiet on this end. Nobody has a hand up. Nobody in the chat room has a question.
Well, where is everybody? Goodness sakes. You know, and we'd ask you if you have a thought about a question, rather than waiting till the last minute. We see people often who sabotage themselves and wait till we get down to a minute and a half and go, oh, I have a question. Now's the time to ask it while we have time for discussion. And we've got about almost 20 minutes left, so we've got time for some meaningful discussion around these tools, around these processes, if somebody's got a question for us. Beyond that, the responsibility communication tool is a powerful way to instruct your mind to show you life differently. The responsibility communication process is one where, instead of using the language of the culture, which is all about projection, all about how everything that's going on inside of me is somebody else's fault, when one moves into responsibility communication, there are different words that are used, and the perceptual output of the mind, the thing that guides our lives is the perceptual output of the mind, and the perceptual output of the mind is determined by the words we speak. So when I say, you made me mad, in essence, I'm denying ownership for my mad, and I'm saying to my mind, mind, hide the fact that my mad's got anything to do with me and show me that it belongs to somebody else. So now what happens is my mind will construct a reality, and everything you see is a construct in your mind. As the CIA website about perception says, we do not record reality, we construct reality. And so when you recognize that you're constructing the world that you see, you're doing it according to your words. And when you move out of the you made me language into, oh, I've got some anger coming up here, then you give your mind permission to show you the root of your anger, and you are now able to take charge of that and change it if you'd like. Whereas the other way, once one tells the mind, show me that somebody else is the problem here, then they've dissociated from the root of their anger, their fear, whatever it is no longer resolvable. Everything that anyone holds that is less than love is resolvable in the presence of love. But you can't do it while you're talking about and blaming everybody else. The minute you have a thought or speak as though someone else is the cause of what's happening inside of you, you just entered into denial. And that means that the part of your mind that produces that result is no longer yours to change. You're locked out of it. You're dissociated from it. When you dissociate from something, because it takes significant energy to do that, you put energy into that something, and you literally set up a measurable high-energy wave that brings somebody in, that tends to draw somebody in to play that out with you. And we live in a world of resonance, so if someone has fear about being yelled at, in essence, not being able to resolve that fear and blaming the people who yell at them, that person dissociates from their fear, and by so doing, sets up a field that draws somebody in to yell. And when that person yells, if they follow through with, and you really make me fearful, then they will project, literally take the content of fear in the mind that is their own, they'll make a picture of somebody else, and they'll believe the picture that somebody else is the one who causes their fear. Whereas responsibility language, gee, you know, when you said thus and so, that brought fear up in me, and what I'm really ready to do is to heal and be done with my fear. Then, I have access to the part of my mind that produces my fear. When I can bring that part of my mind forward and expose it below, healing happens. That's all. It's an awesome process. Fabulous, fabulous way of living. So we invite you to join us. And if you haven't accessed the forgiveness process, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And in the center of the page, there's a bullseye. Click on it. That will open a whole series of links that will walk you through the how-to of the whole forgiveness process. You can also, just to the right of the bullseye, you'll see a link for the PowerPoint presentation that Bill Costantino did for us. Thank you, Bill. It was a blessing. It is a blessing, continues to be. And you can click on the video of that PowerPoint, and it'll walk you right through the whole core. 35 years of learning, bang, 24 minutes, you got it. And you can save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of headache, by engaging in those tools and putting it to work. And you can see them in just 24 minutes, the core of that main tool, which is one of the most difficult things for the mind that's used to languaging how everybody else is the problem and everybody else needs to change and it's not my fault, it's their fault that I'm feeling this. It's a huge shift to make to actually move into responsibility. You can go, if you click on the bullseye and just look down the list, you'll find the responsibility communication worksheet. And that will give you the 7 steps of responsibility communication that we speak about. We also have a CD, 4-hour CD, that actually covers the communication process and the circle of life and how to play it. It's kind of 2 workshops in one. They were together and before it was broken up to a separate workshop. So there's a 4-hour CD series. And then there's a 2-hour DVD of communication. Did you hear what I think I said? They're also available on the website. So we're honored and delighted that you're here. And let's check in again with Jeannie.
Still no hands up. So I'm not sure. Everybody's just being quiet. We've got 15 minutes. So we've got time for your question. If you would press 1 or dial 646-200-4169 and then press 1 and it lets me know. Otherwise, if you don't press 1, I just think you're out there listening. So if you want to talk, you've got to let me know.
So no waiting. Push 1. What's your question? How can we support you? What's on your mind? If you're concerned about being on the radio and your voice might be shaky, just invite you to breathe and let that go and go ahead and ask your question. We're here to support you.
Well, here's a question for you.
Yes.
You have 8 lessons in your course of the laws of living. And you reference this often, and I only remember parts of it, but where did the Laws of Living course come from? What was its genesis? Hello, Michael.
He just disappeared off of the switchboard. So I don't know if he lost signal. So
okay. Well,
we'll give him a minute to get back on.
Yeah, I was just curious because I remember hearing parts of it at different times. And I understand the concept at deeper levels every time I hear it. There's a part of me that still wants to, as others have said, you know, give me the book, let me read it. Let me read the 8 laws of living or 16 laws of living or 5 laws of living, whatever they are. And each time Michael explains it, I get a little bit deeper realization that it's not a statement or a paragraph that I have to live into. It's tools for uncovering how the mind and the world and the energy system really works, and then I need to work at identifying when I'm aligned with that and using tools to stay aligned with it and catch myself when I'm not. Are you back, Michael?
I am.
He is back.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, you're on.
Yep. So the 8 lessons are not about 8 laws of living, and you know, for instance, when they say to Yeshua, what's most important, all this stuff, law you're telling us? What he responds is with the tool for living a human life. And what the Greeks tell us, he said, is you must love God, neighbor, as self. in Aramaic, what he tells us is, you must maintain the condition of rachma in your mind when you think of the Creator, when you think of neighbor, in order to maintain self. So that would be one of the primary laws of living. What does that mean? That means I need to come back into full relationship with the active presence of love in my life by keeping this gateway open, and in Aramaic, rachma, as opposed to the translation the Greeks have given it as love, is a filter over intentions that allows only intentions key to love to come forward in forming our goals. And it's a gateway for human life to enter human form. So the idea is not to have an intellectual, oh, some creator, some king said, do this. It's to build relationship with the truth of who you are as love and remove everything unlike it, which, of course, is the whole focus of the work, which is why in intensives I'll often, you know, with a smile on my face, write the words, all of the above. How do I do that? Well, if I have rage going on, I forgive my rage. If I'm withholding communication, I'm going to do responsibility communication. If I'm hostile at someone, I'm going to stop and I'm going to speak the commitment to them. If I have a grievance against someone, there's a grievance worksheet in the Laws of Living course, that working through grievances. There's a mind goal management sheet, which we cover in the video, Getting the Stress You Need. So each of those tools is how to come into relationship. It's not what kings would have us believe. You know, kings want us to listen to their words. It's interesting. Anyone who wants to take over a country, and especially the communist countries that have been taken over, you'll notice one of the first things that happens is the literacy rate shoots up. Now, the thinking ability doesn't shoot up, but the literacy rate does, because in order to control people's lives, you've got to be the source of the words they think in. And so, as opposed to teaching people how to think, you educate people so they can understand what you want them to do. And so it's not, and so kings want us to believe there's the law book there. Here you go. We wrote them all down. You just follow all these rules and then you'll have a human life. And if you were to do, let's say you were to do all the things that Yeshua did, that still wouldn't mean that you'd be living as a human being, that there would be an active present human life in your physiology. There's a one piece of the puzzle that Paul had where he says, you know, though I deliver my body to be burned, if I have not love, I'm as a tinkling cymbal. And he goes through a whole litany of things. If I do this, you can be, the non-being world wants to teach us that we are human doings instead of human beings, and you can't achieve being by doing. But when you come into harmony with these eternal forces, your human life naturally shows up. And having awareness of the tools and the principles by which that happens is how to come into relationship with the eternal forces and therefore honor the laws of living. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what was the origin of the course? You were working with someone else?
Yeah, the doctor, doesn't go for the title doctor because he was an attorney. Dan McDougall was an attorney in Albany, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. And he actually funded an expedition to go to the Middle East and find a manuscript that was called the Kabor's Manuscript, so-called because it was found on the Kibor River in Turkey, and utilized that to decode from the Aramaic. This is a 10th century copy of a 1st century text, to decode through translation the tools and the ideas, the how-to of coming into relationship with the eternal forces. And then once 25 scholars who were translating agreed on a meaning of a word, then as opposed to that, okay, now we know that's right, what would happen would be that the tools would be taken into the laboratory of the classroom. Do they actually work to produce the result? And if they do, then we have settled that the translation was accurate. And so each of the tools presented in Laws of Living, as with all of our workshops, are about how to remove one of two things, either how to remove the things that take us out of harmony with the eternal forces, or to engage in energies that will support us in coming into harmony with the eternal forces. So understanding that this first law that says Rachma, and then realizing that you can read all the books in the world and all the testimonies in the world, you'll remember when he said, here's the first law, have Rachma for the creator, neighbor, and self. And then he says, for upon this hangs the law and all the prophets. It's you achieving harmony, me achieving harmony, genie, any person in particular, achieving harmony with the truth of who we are as love, that empowers us to understand that writing that was about achieving the results and being able to accurately see it and decode it rather than the forced brainwash. You know, you look at so-called modern Christianity, and you've got something like 32,000 sects all saying, this is the right way. If you don't do this, you go to hell, we go to heaven. Hey, and we're the only ones going. You know, it's basically the message. When what we're saying is, thank you, we're not interested in anybody's religion. We're not interested in you entering our religion. What we're interested in is, here's how the eternal forces work. Here are the tools for harmonizing them. Try them. Touch it. Watch what happens. Your life will improve. This is pretty simple and straightforward. So that's the idea of laws of living, and it's taught, you know, in the prison system. It's taught in an 8-week series, although Rex and Michelle, when they did it, expanded it out significantly from there because of the amount of process work that happened with the guys they were working with. But each year at Heartland, and we may do another Laws of Living class this year, I don't know. We're actually at this moment looking at a location in Spain where we might go and spend 6 months by the ocean to settle down and write. And we're looking at renting a place that would be big enough for probably 8 people to come and study with us for a time period. And so we're kind of opening, we're actually in dialogue with some people about a place for rent, a couple of different places actually, that will allow us the space to settle in, do some work on our internet capabilities, and to complete some writing. Jeannie's working on her book, and I'm working on a rewrite of Why Is This Happening to Me Again. Michael Coughlin's actually kicking in and going to help us to complete the Mind Shifter's Keys to the Unconscious book. So we've got lots on go there. And then if it comes together, then we'll do probably something like maybe a 16-day Laws of Living or another teacher training or codependence to interdependence communication practicum would be another 16-day. So depending on who expresses interest, we'll let the early adopters decide exactly what we'll do, but it'll be a pretty intimate setting, right? If we get the place we're communicating about right now, it's a resort right on the ocean. And so it'll be in a fairly historic district where there's lots of tourist things to do, and people will be able to come and spend whatever time period the group decides they want to do and what intensive work they want to do, and then have the space to do some local tourist things at an inexpensive rate to stay in the space that we're renting and to be there for, you know, a week or two, something like that. So that's what possibilities look like. We did have someone who's just moved to Texas who invited us to come into a Laws of Living course in Texas with them. And so that's another possibility, but I'm not sure about where they're going to assemble people from. They're just, she's just moving to Texas, and so is looking to assemble a group that might do that. So that's another possibility. So we're just kind of hanging out in possibilities right now and getting ready for the intensive season to close. It'll actually finish tomorrow, and we'll be complete here at Heartland. And Jeannie has the Healing the Whole Woman segment that she's doing at a workshop up in a 4-day mini-intensive for women up in the Pocono Mountains in October. And I'll be staying here. I'll take her to the airport. She'll fly out to that and then back to here, or we're not sure exactly how that will unfold, and then we'll be doing whatever we do next, whether it's Texas or Florida or Spain. We'll see how it all unfolds. So, lots of possibilities.
It is.
It's always a handful. We're down to about 3 minutes, so there'd be time for a quick question, but otherwise, we're pretty close to a completion point, and we just invite you to take the tools, you know, share the website, and if you'd like to connect with us on Facebook, we're always posting something about issues in the world and the forgiveness process and their part in the process. So we'd invite you to join with us on Facebook. The Facebook name is JM_RYCE, so Jenny and Michael _RYCE. And connect with us there. And if you'd like to do an intensive, then touch in. If you go to the website, that'll give you a way to contact us. And we'll look forward to hearing your sweet voice and seeing what unfolds next. We're also in a revitalization phase with Heartland, where Terry Bowling's looking at coming and spending some time here. He's spent 2 years on the property previously in a work support program, and is really dedicating his life to the work and to supporting Heartland and making this a space where people can come and deepen their experience of the tools to a very profound level. And so if you'd like to participate and support that, we'll have work exchange programs available and a work support team, and anywhere up to 2 years. So we'd be delighted to hear from you, and in the meantime, it's an awesome day to create the best day yet of your eternal life, the best year yet of your eternal life, and that is an absolutely fabulous gift to give the world. We're here to support you in doing that, and if you have any challenges in unfolding the year that is the best year yet of your eternal life, then 5 days a week from 1 till 2 o'clock Eastern Time, we are here to support you and using the tools, learning, understanding how to integrate them and put them to work in your life. And so thank you for being with us, and we'll look forward to hearing from you on Monday. Have a blessed weekend. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.